This is true for probably every retailer. The biggest hurdle is logistics.
Welcome to the 70th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. My name is Tema Frank, and I'm your host. Today, we have a really interesting interview with Chris Parsons, who was recently appointed the Global Marketing and Business Development Lead for Newegg. Before that, he was Newegg's Country Manager for Canada. And before that, he spent some years working on Walmart.ca. So he's got a lot of depth of experience in the e-commerce scene generally, as well as in Canada. He's going to be speaking at the upcoming eTail conference in Toronto on May 5th to 7th. It looks like a really awesome conference, so if you can go, I would really recommend that you do it. I will be happy to chat with you there, because I'm going to be headed off there as well. Some of the things that we cover in this interview is Newegg's decision to open a Canadian e-commerce store. They already were doing pretty well with Canadians via their .com site, but did decide to open a special one in Canada 4 years ago. We talk about how the company uses social media with their customers, and in particular, their recent launch of a social gifting option. And perhaps most interestingly, to me at least, is I'm noticing that there are more and more sites gravitating towards almost an online shopping mall model. So, you know, it started with Amazon, which of course, as we all know, started with books and then moved into a gazillion other things. They've recently announced that they're going to be adding a whole bunch of product categories in Canada as well. And then, of course, a couple of years ago was the launch of Shop.ca, which wanted to be the Amazon of Canada. And recently, Newegg has launched what they call their marketplace store, which is selling items that have nothing to do with its roots as a technology shop, like jewelry and baby shoes. So interesting developments, and I think you'll enjoy this interview with Chris, where we talk about some of these issues. Talk to you briefly after the interview. How much autonomy does the Canadian operation have from the American operation?
We try to leverage as much of the resources and systems as we can. When it comes to marketing and adding innovation to our site, we have a great amount of flexibility. So basically, we would put in our own business requests to the U.S., and they would prioritize based on requests coming in from other, what we call business units. Mm-hmm. And based on the return on investment and how well we present our case, we'll get to launch different initiatives here in Canada.
Okay. And in the U.S., is it strictly an online company, or does it have stores as well?
It's strictly an online. However, we've just recently opened up a hybrid center. It's basically like a showroom where customers can come in and engage and interact with products, whether it be gaming systems or to look at the quality of television sets. And then from there, they can make a purchase online. So while customers can't purchase there on site and have it come out of a warehouse right away, they can make a purchase through whether it's their mobile or through some kiosks that are set up. And then mm-hmm. as it goes through the fulfillment process, they can get the product.
That's interesting. So how do customers react to that? Because it seems to me if you've made the effort to go to a store and try it, you want it right away. How does that work out in practice?
It works really well because there's a lot of limitations on transportation these days. I guess with the economy and the gas prices becoming so high, a lot of people have downsized their vehicles. So a lot of our items don't fit in a number of vehicles. So by them coming in and playing with the products and engaging with them, it's really no difference than them going to research at, say, a Best Buy, a product, and then coming online and buying from us because we have a better price. So right. This just allows them to have a fuller Newegg experience as opposed to just leveraging our competition to hopefully then come and buy from us because we have the better price.
Okay. And so in terms of the strategy for competing, you've kind of alluded a little bit in terms of better pricing, although, you know, Best Buy obviously claims that they'll meet or beat any kind of price. In the electronics industry, it seems that everybody tries to offer that kind of guarantee. So how does one compete?
Right. You got to compete with value. And when I say value, it may not always be the best price, but you offer very consistent shipping that customers can rely on. You offer great customer service and follow-up after purchase. And you have to be an authority on the product line. So having the best ratings and reviews, having customers engage on the site to leave their comments, all of these things add up to good value for a customer. So not to say that anyone's going to be willing to spend a lot more money on the product, but if you can show that you're within range and offer great service, fast shipping, and someone that they can rely on, not to gouge them, I guess, for lack of better words, then now you're showing an overall package that's appealing to customers instead of just being the best price on a high-low type of game.
Right. So how do you go about engaging customers so that they will leave reviews and enough of them will that you can develop something meaningful?
Yeah, so there's many different tactics to get reviews. Fortunately for us, our audience is a very, very smart and intellectual audience. They actually want to show how smart they are when it comes to IT components and they'll leave it because they want to be that authority. They want to have that, I guess, clout with all of their friends to say, you know, we've recognized either, something wrong with the content that's on the site, or we found a new way to use the product and here's how it can be done. So they're willing to share that and transfer that knowledge to other users, which is great. They just naturally have this about them, and we're very lucky to have those type of customers.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the interesting things because it is a very niche kind of area, so people do feel strongly. You were saying before we recorded that you had previously worked on the Walmart website. Can you comment a little bit about the sorts of differences that the niche makes at Newegg versus having a very broad general audience at Walmart?
Yeah, so with Newegg, the benefit to us having the gamers and the do-it-yourself enthusiasts is the fact that we can become very customer-centric with our messaging, with our offering, because we don't have to, with Walmart, you have to be everything to everyone. I believe Walmart has a stat somewhere that 90% of the population shops in their store at least once a year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's impressive, but they have a challenge that they have to find a way to communicate to many different profiles of customers. We know where our strength is, and we get to maximize that audience. And although we are trying to grow into other categories, we want the categories to be complementary to our audience. And we are very fortunate that when we communicate with them, we do have a really good understanding through whether it be social media, different forums, what's trending, what they're interested in, what they're looking for. So I think we have the advantage on how we can communicate and keep a good community with our audience.
How does your organization use social media? How does it fit in with what you're doing on the website itself?
Well, there's a couple different tactics. So one is we try to show them, highlight them some of the best deals that we have, which usually doesn't get shared too much, but we still will put out a deal or two a day. The reason it doesn't get shared is, I mean, it would be like you having, dinner with your family, and, you know, if you spilled some wine on your shirt, you certainly wouldn't want somebody from Tide coming up and saying, oh, I can sell you some Tide to fix this problem. But if the person beside you had a Tide pen that would take away that, that stain, you'd be really open to trying out that product. So social is the same thing. Like, we're granted the honor of people following us and being part of a community. So we have to be there as a customer service tool. We have to be there as pre-awareness on new releases. We just have to be one of the touch points, but not necessarily to push merchandise to be sold. They will interact with us as they're ready to do research or make a purchase decision. So I think we just have to be part of the experience, and social does not need to be the push.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what role does paid online advertising figure into your organization, and what have you found effective or ineffective in terms of the paid world?
paid search is effective. It does get costly because you're competing with a number of, whether it be competitors or people just know that certain search terms would drive good traffic to their site. So it's important to us. It also is a good, as far as return on investment, because you know whatever you're paying out, you're getting a sale from that activity. But to me, it's not the best for as a branding tool, because people are just buying a deal and they're not really engaging with your brand and your brand messaging. They're just finding the right price per se.
Right.
So we have to blend that with other marketing tactics, you know, the follow-up email, hopefully getting them to register and sign up for an ongoing e-newsletter from us. Those are the tactics, the follow-up after that initial purchase is the most important piece. One of the strongest tactics for us is the affiliate programs, where there's other websites that have this great audience, and that site is a trustworthy site for them, and they pick up our content and share it with their audience. So that gives us great exposure to people that are not thinking of Newegg top of mind.
Right. Okay. Do you have any idea what was behind Newegg's decision to enter the Canadian marketplace? Because you've been here for a while. Like, when was the CA site set up?
The CA site was set up just over 4 years ago. I've been with the company for 2 years. Basically, Canadians had the opportunity to buy from Newegg.com a number of years ago. And based on the amount of Canadians buying and then the fact that e-commerce was really starting to grow in Canada, those two reasons really defined the timing on launching a site in Canada, because we wanted to make sure that the consumers were having a better experience. While they were able to get the deals and find the items on Newegg.com, logistically, getting stuff across the border there's always a delay. It has to go through customs. There's duty on top of items. So we wanted to make sure, since we had that base audience coming to .com, that we can now service them in a faster manner. And then also, you know, Canada has a lot of unique vendors. So, you know, there's unique vendors in Quebec. There's unique vendors all over the country, where we can now start to augment the offering with Canadian-specific items as well.
Actually, you raise an interesting point there about Quebec. Do you see any differences in buying patterns or attitudes towards online purchase with the Quebecois audience as opposed to the rest of the country?
Quebec is a highly engaged audience. They represent each month it will differ. They'll either be number one or number two from purchasing from us. So they are a great audience for online, and that's not just true from Newegg. I've seen the stats, whether it was at Walmart or from some of the other retailers that I network with, that Quebec is a very savvy online shopper, and they probably are close to leading all provinces when it comes to online purchases.
Wow. Are retailers, when they go, I mean, I know Canadian packaging laws require everything to be bilingual. Do retailers have to have bilingual sites?
It depends where your head office is registered. So okay. we're out of Ontario, so you don't have to have a French site. Although we are working towards a French version of our site, because we want to be able to allow people to shop in both languages. That's on our roadmap. I can't give you any more timeline on it than that, but we do have that in our project plan.
But that's interesting, then. That says even more about the fact that if they're among your largest customers, and that's with a site that isn't even in French.
Exactly.
It's a really keen kind of market. So as you've been building out the e-commerce in Canada, what have you found to be some of the biggest challenges or hurdles in doing it?
This is true for probably every retailer. The biggest hurdle is logistics. Logistics across Canada is tough. You have to develop a run rate before you can get the best rates, but then you can't get the run rate because your shipping is too high. So it's this vicious circle. But having said that, I think what it, as a country manager or any leader of e-commerce, you have to have good dialogue and create synergies with the logistic partners. And we've had a great partner with Purelator. And mm-hmm. If you're creative enough and you work together, you can overcome a lot of the logistical opportunities of having only 36 million people in Canada and being spread out across this great country. So you have to look at all the options, whether it be letter mail, which is not trackable and it's a little bit slower, or you work on zone skipping. So there's all
what
kinds of
zone skipping.
Zone skipping is basically where you would take items from Ontario and say, okay, instead of me stopping every route, you would take the items directly to BC and then ship from a warehouse in BC based on the volume of orders.
Okay.
And I'm not in charge of logistics, so
sure,
that's
yeah.
my layman's explanation of zone
works
shipping.
For me. No, but it is quite interesting. So shipping still is then obviously the biggie. Are there any
I can go into some others. I just really to clarify on shipping, you know, the opportunity is if I'm shipping out of Ontario, and this is why Quebec is strong, my shipping rates to Quebec are very reasonable, but shipping to a customer in BC, it becomes difficult. And we're actually looking, this year we'll be opening up another warehouse in the West. So, customers in the West are going to have now, a better experience with us as well, because the shipping rates will be aligned with that warehouse as opposed to aligned with our Ontario warehouse.
Right. Okay.
So
exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting for us. It shows commitment from Newegg Global to just continue to grow Canada, which is it's fantastic. The other opportunities that you would see in the Canadian market is just the assortment. We have probably 30,000 SKUs on our site, excluding Marketplace, because Marketplace is done through resellers, and that has about 300,000 on our site. But the assortment is vastly different from what you have in the U.S. And we would be able to activate everything from the U.S. and bring it up to Canada, but there's opportunities with warranty, issues. So, so that's an inhibitor for us. So again, that's where you have to do your due diligence on finding what is unique in the Canadian market that we can add that will complement our current assortment.
How big a staff do you have who are dealing with the whole e-commerce thing in Canada?
We've had great growth over the last year. When I came on board, we had 8 people, and now we're up to 43 in total,
wow.
And that's including a warehouse. Yeah, so
wow.
Fantastic growth. Doesn't happen too often in retail to have that much headcount come on board so fast. So basically, when I took over as country manager, we took a step back on our marketing to get a lot of foundational things tweaked. So we wanted to make sure that we had more inventory in our warehouse. We wanted to make sure that usability on the site was enhanced. And then we just wanted to make sure that our pricing and our basically all of our brand values we could actually stand by. So we did that over the last 9 months. We started foundationally getting people on board that had experience in e-commerce with
others have complained that that's hard to find in Canada.
It has been typically, yes, over the last number of years, but I think now you have a number of major retailers. You have Walmart that's now in e-commerce. You've had Sears, a longtime e-commerce player.
Yes.
I think the Bay as well has been off and on with it. Home Depot's had good success and good people on their platforms as well. So I think there's a number of retailers that have over the last 5 years, you know, really done a great job of training folks. You have a bigger pool now to choose from, and then you have the other players that don't get really recognized. We've been doing online like our core competition of, you know, Canada Computers, NCIX, Tiger Direct. They've all been engaged with e-commerce for some time now. So the e-commerce market does have a bigger pool to pull from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What impact do you think Amazon's growing what it sells in Canada is going to have on businesses like yours?
Well, I think it's much like Walmart when it came into Canada, I guess, 20 years ago now. It forces people to get better, to find what their audience is enjoying about them. It forces you to improve. And I think they've been disruptors in the U.S., and they'll be a disruptor in Canada, mm-hmm. As far as, you know, their strategy on the marketplace. I think it will rapidly increase logistics across Canada with the amount of DCs, with the amount of assortment. So I think it will actually, for the smart retailers, they'll be able to leverage the growth of Amazon for themselves, because mm-hmm. they'll be putting steps in place that will make e-commerce more relevant in Canada.
Good point. Really good point. Is there anything else that you think I should have asked you and I haven't thought to ask?
You and I talked really about some innovation, so there's I would love to touch on our social gifting and that we've added to the site, because basically if you go to an item on our website, you have this opportunity to gift an item. Mm-hmm. So what's nice about this, and we're one of the first in Canada to launch this, is through a company called Count Me In. So basically you and I know each other, and I know that you have an interest in a laptop, but you and I are the only two that know about Newegg. So I know your birthday is coming up. I can register you for the laptop that you're interested in through Newegg. I can now, and this happens naturally already in an office environment, or, you know, through friends, as they all collect, you know, $20 here, $20 yeah. there, and collaborate on a gift. But usually you get a gift card or something that you might not necessarily want. So this tool allows for us to identify through our connection together what you're interested in. I can register you. I would put my $20, $50, depends, you know, how close we are, down onto mm-hmm. the product. And then through Facebook, I get to share this registration of a gift to your network.
Hmm.
And it allows everyone to collaborate over a certain set period of time to raise the funds to buy you the gift that you really would like.
I should have known about that sooner. Today's my birthday. In fact,
it is great timing on this conversation. So.
Yeah, exactly. And you're getting good response to that?
Yeah, we're getting good response to it. What's nice is it does a few things. So it allows people to get the gift that they want. And for us, because we know it takes about 15 people to collaborate together to usually buy a gift, mm-hmm. it gets us exposure to a number of people that have never heard of Newegg. So it's a great tool. It's kind of like a wedding or gift registry that you would have at the Bay. You can use it that way as well. So whether it's just for an individual purchase, or if it's for, you know, someone wanting to build out their man cave and they want to get it as funds for their wedding. So it's a great way for customers to engage with us. And that's something we do different. The U.S. doesn't have this tool available. So you know, earlier on, you and I talked about the autonomy with Canada, and that's an initiative, is a perfect example that we saw value in it, and we rolled it out right away. And then we just recently launched Marketplace on our site. So that's a very exciting program for us. And we launched that in January.
And what is that?
So what Marketplace does is allows us to work with resellers across Canada that have complementary or extended assortment.
Mm-hmm.
They will then post in our Marketplace tab and our categories their items. And basically, they pay us a commission for every item that's sold. But what it allows our customer base to get is a broader assortment. So earlier I mentioned that mm-hmm. our site had about 30,000 SKUs on our core platform. With our Marketplace, we've added 300,000 additional items through our resellers. So I think we have 101 resellers today involved with the site. And it's constantly growing. Each day we have new people sign up, new categories. So, you know, we have jewelry, we have health and wellness. We have a great product. We have a great product called Oxygen from a company called O Plus, the oxygen in a can. So you really unique items get to be part of Marketplace. Marketplace can get resellers exposure from the traffic that we get. So it's a good, it's a really good fit for both Newegg and the resellers. And our customers just get a great experience. Like, it was shockingly, jewelry is the number one category selling part of our mix. And
that's surprising.
Yeah, our core male audience is buying jewelry for their girlfriend, their spouse. So it's a, it's a great added value to our site.
It's interesting because I see, you know, with that and Amazon's marketplace and shop.ca, it seems like we are developing the online equivalent of shopping malls more and more.
Yeah, you've nailed it. We are. So I battle with, you know, you want to have as many items, which is the model that Amazon has set up, where you try to have basically every long tail item possible on your site. But also, what my biggest concern is, instead of doing that, we have to be sensitive to, one, it takes time and resources to load up a bunch of SKUs. But secondly, we do have an audience that we should be customer-centric about. We want to make sure that whatever we're adding adds value for that audience.
Right.
So it's not about just loading up, you know, a million, 2 million SKUs to say we have everything. It's thoughtfully planning what SKUs go on there and then measuring the SKUs. Are they performing? Are they the right fit for our consumer? Because we don't want to add clutter to their experience.
Okay. But it's interesting because you might not have, well, I don't know, maybe you did, but I certainly wouldn't have guessed that your core audience would be big jewelry purchasers. Is that something you sort of discovered by accident or?
Well, we thought that guys would buy for their spouses. So we did think that, but I didn't think it would be necessarily jewelry all the time. Like we thought more of the health and wellness type stuff that we were adding. It should have made sense with my experience from Walmart that jewelry would be purchased because it's a great item for online.
That's fascinating. It'll be interesting to watch how that goes. Well, not much to add to this one. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I do hope that if you are able to, you'll go to the ETEL conference in Toronto, May 5th to 7th, and maybe we'll have a chance to see each other there. If not, or even if you do, why don't you pop over to frankonlinemarketing.com and check out some of the other content on the website and give me your feedback about what you're enjoying and what could be better. My name is Tema, and you can always reach me at tema@frankonlinemarketing.com or by calling toll-free at 1-866-544-9262. And if you're enjoying the podcast, I'd be truly grateful if you would pop on over to iTunes and or Stitcher and give us some feedback and a rating. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful week.